Blog Talk Radio.
We got to make a family. And in order to make a family, we have to know and understand our role as man and our role as woman. And we cannot run away from the role that God and nature gave to us. God made man the producer. And the Quran says Allah made men the maintainers of women. Oh, wait a minute, America. I'm an independent black woman. I don't need no man to maintain me. I maintain myself. Yes, yeah, sister, you've had to do that. You've had to do that. And I'm not faulting you for doing that. You had to do it. Because we weren't on the job.
On another level. Another level. Nation Building Network proudly presents another Nation Building Network family broadcast.
But when a man is on the job, he does not give a woman a baby then send her out to work. Do you know rearing children and making them giants in the earth is a hell of a responsibility? 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 Responsibility?
Thank you for joining Strong Family, Strong Nation for another Blog Talk Radio program. Sit back, relax, and get ready to create a strong family and a strong nation.
If we as men and women of God, entrusted with the responsibility of the word of Quran, the word of the Bible, would teach the word, the people would rise. And there is no power on the earth or in the heaven above that could stop the people from rising if the knowledge were given to them that would produce their rise. That's why the scripture says, how can they know except they have a teacher? And how can they have a teacher except he be sent?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters. Peace be unto you and Ramadan Mubarak. Welcome to our Strong Family, Strong Nation program. And this evening we are featuring our nation's own brother, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, as he elaborates on the attack of the black man in America by the process of feminization and the overwhelming threat it has on the black family. And along with Dr. Wesley Muhammad, we have our beloved host, our brother, Brother Job Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum
salam and Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, yes, yes. Ramadan Kareem. family, welcome to the Strong Family, Strong Nation Blog Talk Show. And we're going to get right into this show because this is a 911 going out to every black man, woman, and child in America and across the seas. I mean, this assault on us, Brother Wesley, and I know, Brother, you've been talking about this here and dealing with it, you know, for some time now. And dear brother, you know, I want to welcome you to the show. I thank you for taking time out in your busy schedule to give us the time that you can give with us. So we're not going to belabor anything, dear brother. I want to welcome you, brother. Let's just get right into the show, sir. Are you ready?
I am. I'm honored, Brother Joe, to be invited to share this wonderful platform and share a word or two with your wonderful audience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Brother Wesley?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now, sir. So, brother, I want to ask you a question because, you know, everybody, you know what I'm saying, has been asking this question to me. How can they feminize us as men through the food and the water that we're drinking, brother? How is this possible, and how are they getting away with this, Brother Wesley?
Well, this is the white man's world. The white man gets away with anything and everything in his world. He is the god of his world. I'll say that again. The white man is the god of his world. He determines the laws, and he is free to break them at his pleasure, at his convenience, or to his strategic ends. And so, for example, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, it's a federal agency that is supposed to regulate the food we consume and purchase, the food that's made available to us. It's the Food and Drug Administration supposed to be the regulatory body that ensures the food we avail ourselves to is safe and healthy, that the drugs that are made available commercially to us are safe and healthy. But it's been proven over and over again that the Food and Drug Administration, despite all of its rules, laws, and regulations, despite all of its standards, the Food and Drug Administration is absolutely an enemy to the black community. So the drugs that Big Pharma wants to get out to the public to make money, whether it's healthy or not, the FDA absolutely will approve it. And also, the FDA turns a blind eye, like the EPA, the Environmental Protection Services, both the EPA and the both the FDA and the EPA turn a blind eye whenever the government wants to operationalize a conspiracy against the black community, either through water, the EPA turned its back on our people, not just in Flint, Michigan, with the deliberately lead contaminated water, but also PA allows poison fluoride to contaminate the waters of the major cities. The major cities get their water is fluoridated with a chemical different than the water in the white suburbs. The water in the white suburbs, to the extent that it's fluoridated with sodium fluoride. But the water that fluoridates the inner cities is silico fluoride, which is a much more toxic fluoride. The EPA turns its back to that, just as the FDA turns its back to the GMO and contaminated foods that is made available in the black community. So all that is to say, Brother Joe, how does the white man get away with it? There is not a single thing that the white man can't desire, that he can't get away with, in his world that he's the God over, and that's why God came to sit this white man down and establish the righteous world where God is ruler.
Wow, dear brother. You know, I was going back over when you were speaking about FART, the WIC programs, and right here in Orlando, Florida, like three doors down from the mosque here, my dear brother, they got a WIC office, and every inch of me been holding me back from going in there and just throwing that food out. I mean, because you were saying that they right. got special numbers that got to go to this neighborhood or that neighborhood, and you mix them up. I mean, it's a punishment.
Absolutely.
You know, so they actually took over the Black Panthers project and turned it into devilishment,
right.
man.
Absolutely. WIC being a governmental program, those women, pregnant women and infants who are on government insurance can avail themselves to food through the WIC program, but it's food, select food provided to them and selected for them by the U.S. government. And those who, in the Black community, WIC recipients in the Black community versus WIC recipients in the white community, because this, as most welfare recipients are not Black mothers, most welfare recipients are white people. And WIC, those who take advantage of WIC are not mainly Black women, pregnant women. Those who take advantage of WIC are largely non-Black, but Black WIC receivers, where their food, the food they access is the food in their own area code. And food distribution in this country is determined by area code. The food in Black area codes, especially the food provided by WIC, has been shown to be deficient in key nutritional elements, specifically zinc. It's one of the most important trace elements for the human body. Zinc is easy to get, easy to access through food. That's where there's not a lot of zinc deficiency in America, certainly no real zinc deficiency epidemics except for Black children on WIC. The food that Black children on WIC are forced to avail themselves to is profoundly zinc deficient and zinc deficient, and this deficiency in zinc is part of the feminizing process of the Black man and masculinizing process of the Black woman. Why? Because not only does a zinc deficiency lower testosterone, because zinc is necessary for the production of testosterone, so a zinc deficiency lowers the production of testosterone, but it also overstimulates a process called aromatization, which is the process by which natural testosterone, or by which testosterone naturally converts to estrogen. But only a small amount of testosterone naturally converts to estrogen. But in one of the ways that process is kept in check is by zinc. But when there's a zinc deficiency, it can't keep lower testosterone and increases estrogen because it fails to control and put a lid on this process of aromatization. So, yes, through our foods, through the WIC program has been weaponized against Black babies, even though it was started by our own Black Panther Party for the benefit of Black children. Our enemy snatched it from us and weaponized it against us.
Wow, dude. Look, brother, you know, that's so deep. You know, I'm looking at everything you're saying, but is all of this tied into basically the food that a lot of our unfortunate families are allowing their children to eat in the public school system? Because, you know, if you're saying all of that is tied into the FDA, then those are the ones that's regulating what the children are eating in school. So basically, this is all starting in the kindergarten era.
Governmental provided foods in the public schools is not, to say the least, top quality food for our children. And especially in the city public school system, that we don't want to have to rely on the public school's lunch for our babies. If we can avoid it, we must sacrifice the extras to be able to send our school. If we have to send our children to our enemy school, then we must do our best to sacrifice what we need to so that we can send them to school with our food and not have them rely on the lunch program, because the lunch program, like the WIC program, is weaponized against our babies.
Yes, sir. And dear brother, as I've been studying, I see how these wicked white people will sacrifice their own people just to get to us. So how do we kind of react to this feminization? I know our medicine cabinet is our kitchen, but if we're buying the food from them to prepare for our families, how do we counteract this then, dear brother?
Yeah, well, one, with the many just we have been able to give Brother Joe, documenting in great detail the architecture, if I can use that term, the architecture of the white man's assault against the black man. We have shined so much light on so many aspects of that architecture. And I use that language architecture, that metaphor, advisedly, because we can picture our enemy's assault against us as an edifice full of sharp edges and dangerous traps that we, the black man, are sitting in. The only real way, Brother Joe, to avert or avoid the assault is to exit the edifice, by which I mean what? Ultimately, the only solution is separation. This white man has weaponized our water against us, weaponized our food against us, weaponized the very air that we breathe through chemtrails. They've weaponized the air over the inner cities against the dwellers. We dwellers of the inner city. The only solution is to separate from this white man. We have to do that. Now, by separate, the ultimate separation is our physical exit from the socio-political system called the United States of America to a land of our own wherein we establish our own socio-political system under the leadership of God himself. In the process, we can still separate right now. We separate from the white man's kitchen by going the extra mile, exerting the extra effort to prepare our own foods, driving a little further to different area codes to buy our food, pairing our food, separate from the white man's kitchen as best we could. We have to separate from the white man's hospital. That means We have to support the 3-year economic plan of the Mohsana boy Elijah Muhammad. We have the resources. We have to pool them and set up hospitals. We got to do that now, right now. There must be. It's not an option. There must be black hospitals because white doctors are absolutely targeting black, not just black babies, but black fetuses. When we go to white doctors in these clinics and hospitals, when our pregnant women go to these clinics and hospitals, we are documenting, Brother Joe, that they are absolutely targeting that fetus, that life that is forming in the womb. They don't wait till the black male enters the world. They target the black male in the womb of his woman. We have to, the womb of his mother. We absolutely have to separate on so many different levels, starting with separate out of the white man's religion, give the white man's Christianity back. I didn't say the teachers of Jesus. I didn't say give Christ back. Give the white man's Christianity back and the white man's white Jesus religion. Separate from his kitchen. We have to purchase land wherein we raise cows. We need our own cows because the very milk, that commercial milk that we buy, has been weaponized against us. But milk is the food of the gods. And milk is the superfood, according to God himself, that does so much for us. We can live off of milk. And the white man heard God say that, and he weaponize the very milk. So we need land that we tend to, that we till, and that we put cows on. We have the resources to do it. These are levels of separation that we can engage in right here, right now.
Yes, sir. Well, brother, you know, this is an open show for everybody, and I know we have a bunch of listening audience right now. And I say to everybody that want to get into the conversation, press 1 on your phone, and you'll be in the queue. But Brother Wesley, you know, you got that brother or sister out there that's saying, what would you say to them saying that all white folks ain't bad? My grandma and grandpa been eating their food all these many years, and they've been living to 99, 89 years old. So how do we explain to them that that food back then is not the same food we eat in a day? I mean, because, you know, we're stubborn
but
people.
But even the food that your grandma and grandpa were eating wasn't the food that their natural divine black body should have been taking in. It was just because they lived to 99 doesn't mean that what they fed on for 99 years was good for them. See, the mistake we make is we think that the only negative consequence from wrongful eating, wrongful drinking, wrongful living, the only negative consequence that they can imagine is that we just drop dead automatically. We just instantly drop dead. And if we don't instantly drop dead, then that means the food must be all right. That means the water must be all right. That means the marijuana must be all right, because we didn't just drop dead instantly. No, that's silly. The white man's tools against us. You know, there's such thing as a slow kill, a slow death. And 99 years, and that 99 is very old and minimally functional. The gods at 99 are just babies. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it takes 70 years just to learn how to live. So 99 and very old and minimally functional isn't a good testament of the quality of the food that they've been eating for 99 years. 99 years with low testosterone. 99 years with excess estrogen, 99 years with low biophoton account. 99 years that saw illness. 99 years with none of the biophysical power, with no access to the biophysical power that the black man and woman's body, physiology, biochemistry absolutely affords them, us, but we go 99 years through this life having no access to that. That's because of the foods we eat. So we need to reconsider our definition of life, death, and a successful life, because it means that it's good for you. So in closing, when Pharaoh and plotting against the children of Israel, he said, kill the male, spare the female. We must understand that kill the male doesn't mean literally murdering black bodies, but kill the male is achieved also by eradicating masculinity. So even if that male lives 99 years, if his masculinity has been deliberately eradicated, then Pharaoh's plot kill the male, female has been accomplished.
Yes, sir, brother. We have a caller in queue right now with the area code. Yes. Area code 512, last four digits 9117. Caller, you on?
Yes,
how are you, sis?
Oh, well, welcome to long, sir. This is Sister Winifred. I just had a quick question, please.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Salaam alaikum.
Oh, well, welcome to long, sir. I just wanted to ask this question. The black woman, we look through history, has always been the standard of strength and has been the standing up for her man and for her family, and has been, you know, has joined in on that strength and courage. How can we, and I know today we have that quote-unquote mindset, and I'm, you know, embarrassed to say, you know, I'm one of them that say, okay, well, I'm independent because you don't have anyone in the home, but yet and still you want to, you know, you want that protection, but how can you, let's say when you get married and you, you're trying to understand that you don't want to make that man, you're not trying to make him weak, but you want him to understand that you are a strong woman. So how can you not, shall I say, put him in a weak position in that saying
but
that you're strong and he's submitting and he
woman.
Not understand, sir?
Right. Yeah, you're asking how to be a strong black woman without dominating your black man?
Yes, I'm trying. Well, with that, but not making him feel like he's weak, you know, because some men, they don't understand or can't really relate to a strong black woman.
Yes, ma'am. That is a very important question. Sister, is it Winifrey?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. That is a very good question. Dear sister, if your circumstance has made the black woman have to be strong, the reason you have to be strong is because you have been denied guidance from your man. And unfortunately, your man, us, we have been too slow in rectifying that situation. So in order to survive yourself and to survive for your babies, you had to become strong in a world so hostile to yourself and your babies. Circumstance has forced that upon you. But then as time comes, the circumstance has made you strong, then you get married, presumably. I'm presuming because God has blessed you to find the strong black man for you. And I say presumably, and not to emphasize that because it's so key, I think, to your question. If you got married, dear sister, to this brother, because you knew him to be the strong man that you need in your life, well, then let him be the strong man. The circumstances that force you into being that strong woman, if they no longer prevail in your situation, then that's not necessary. For example, if I can share some personal history, it's a little different, but it's making the same point that I'm trying to convey. For a long time, I was a single parent. I was a single parent and had to raise my two children by myself. And so because I was the only parent, I had to be mommy and daddy. And I got used to that. It was necessary in order to parent the children. But then I was blessed to get married to a beautiful woman who's a beautiful mother. And while I was being mommy and daddy for some gender bit there, it's just a fact. Naturally, I'm a father. Man is a father. But if I'm trying to be dad and mom, that required some gender bending. That's just a fact. When I got married to a beautiful woman, it was no longer necessary for me to be mom and dad. And so I needed to self-correct. Then back to all I need to do is be dad because there's a mom here. Do you understand my point? Same thing with you are strong. Circumstance forced you to be a strong black woman when you were single. If you marry a man that you trust to be a strong man, then let him do him. Self-correct. Get back into your role as a woman. Allow him to carry out as a man. Now, if you married a man whose strength you don't trust, well, then you made a selection that you should not have. What was the reason that you married him? Sisters, you must choose better. Brothers, you must choose better. Sister, choose a man that is qualified, you know, is qualified to be a man. And so when you marry him, all you have to do is be a woman and let him be the man. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think they muted her because she left the call. But okay. Keep teaching, Top Soldier.
Okay, well, praise belongs. But that question is so applicable to all of us. All of us are in situations before when we are single. Once we are blessed to enter a union, we have to adjust to the circumstances of that union. And a strong black woman is necessary while she's single or while she's married to a weak man. But sisters shouldn't marry a weak man. Sisters should marry a man that allows them to be a woman. And when you are blessed to have that, then fall back into your place as we as men should fall back into our place, and no gender confusion will prevail.
Yes, sir, dear brother. Man, brother, calls are calling in now. We have another caller in queue, area code 281, last four digits 9510. You're online.
Almost.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Wesley and Brother Bilal. This is
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you?
I'm wonderful,
ma'am. How
about yourself? Yes, sir. I have a question. Is there anything that we as black women can do to help in the de-feminization of our men so that we can aid on the rebuilding process of his manhood?
Oh, yes. Very important question, because you are actually the key to the defeminization of the black man. That's why I love this show, Strong Family, Strong Nation. That is absolutely the case. This sister, the black home, is one of the chief threats to white supremacy. Because it's in the black home that the black man is rebuilt. It's in the black home where the black man is re-empowered. Black men, we don't be remade as men in our FOI class on Monday night. We are given manhood training, but we are remade as men in a home.
Wow.
And it's the woman, our wife, who is the key agent in that process. And that's why the scripture says, let us make man, that us that will remake the black man is God and the black woman. It's that collaboration that remakes the black man, because it's God working through the breath, the word, of vices that brought life back to her dead husband, Osiris. You, sister, in your home, have the power to rebuild your man brick by brick, as you have the power to dismantle him brick by brick. You have the power to rebuild him brick by brick, and it's in your home where your man will be rebuilt and re-empowered and then sent out into the world, able and empowered to conquer this hostile world. You are the key to that. And this is what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches and trains our sisters to be and to do. This is why 75% of his work was with the black woman. The training black women and girls get in our NGT class is the training that will allow you to rebuild and re-empower your husband.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. I have another
Brother
question, if I can, Brother Bilal.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay,
go ahead, sis.
One minute.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Wesley, we know you to be a religious scholar, so what sparked you to do your research and go into this understanding the assault on the black man? What sparked that in you to get into this?
Thank you. This book, Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, Black Manhood, and Black Masculinity, is actually a companion book of another book I have written entitled The Book of God, an encyclopedia of proof that the black man is God.
Mm-hmm.
Those who have availed themselves of the book Understanding the Assault, they know that I document that the assault against the black man by the white man is really white supremacy's war against the black God. In the Book of God, I document that the whole world knew at one time, including Europe, that the black man is God. This book, Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, documents white supremacy's methods in warring with the black God. So this book in this research is a natural outgrowth of the research I've been doing for nearly 30 years now. So it's important to understand, in closing, that it, to understand the assault on the black man, we must understand that what we're talking about is not racism. We're talking about the war of the gods.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. And dear family, my apologies. I have to exit now because I have another obligation. Inshallah, we can do this again sometime, but I appreciate the time I was given, but I've been called to another obligation. So thank you again, Brother Bilal and your staff, for hosting me. May Allah continue to bless your efforts with this platform.
Yes, son. Thank you, brother. Look forward to having you back soon, sir.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam, sir.
Again, strong family, strong nation. We have another caller in queue.
Yes.
Caller, you're
code.
On. I'm from Phoenix.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam. I was going to tell Dr. Wesley I had read the Book of God, and as a matter of fact, I bought about 4 more copies and gave them out to relatives and friends to read. And my sons equally did the same. You know, they were so floored. Now, the book, the latest one he wrote, The Assault on Our Black Men, is, I'm reading that now. And you cannot go through it as if you would go through a novel, because this book has so much information. I probably need to get stock and highlighter, because this book, it just, every other sentence he says is just so powerful. And if you're in the Nation of Islam and you do not have this book, it is, you know, shame on you. And you should be buying it to give to others, because I'm also involved in a group, and it's called Black Mothers Forum. And the Black Mothers Forum came together as a result of a book club reading Michelle Alexander's book, Mass Incarceration and Jim Crow. So this is a book that I recommended that they do next, because these mothers are concerned with the school-to-prison pipeline. And they're more than concerned. They're actually getting involved, getting educated, getting involved in organizing and making call to action when things are happening in our community. So what I am seeing through these black mothers is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's words walking right off the page, because our people are ready. Our people are ready for their own schools. Our people are ready for their own hospitals. And as the sister who founded the group continually says, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So we all need to become a part of, actively becoming a part of disseminating this information to our people, because the number one thing we have to do is give them the knowledge, and with the knowledge comes the power for them to get up and do for self.
Yes, ma'am. You know, and dear sister, the prison pipeline and the feminization of the black man, that runs hand in hand, because they're either locking us up or they're locking our male organs up to where we won't reproduce. And if we're locked up, you can't reproduce. So if your mind and your body physically is locked up, then it's a national threat to the black man, woman, and child, and our family structure. So they're trying their best to get us at all angles. But when man plans, Allah is the best of planners.
Exactly.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad set up an economic blueprint to help us with our mass exodus, our mass separation. And his man-child, the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, also came up with the 9 ministries that deals with our Ministry of Agriculture, our Ministry of Justice, Ministry of Defense, our 9 ministries dealing with hospitals in the medical field. So we are planning our separation, but we need, like Minister Farrakhan said, to start donating more and more and more, because it's going to take millions just for us to really get started with what we have in plan and in store to do. So, yes, it takes great minds like you, sister, to stay on these platforms, this type of show, and let your voice be heard. Thank you for calling in, ma'am.
Well, I have one more comment, too, brother. One of the issues we're dealing with is the schools. And I have come to understand more deeply what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says about the white woman being the white man's last trick. And it is not about dating them and marrying them. It is about them being placed in positions throughout society in which they continue and perpetuate white supremacy. And the schools really should be called killing fields, in where these white women have been placed and killing our children.
Yes, ma'am. As Dr. Wesley says, sometimes it can be a slow death, and they definitely are killing us softly. You know, that's why, you know, I like the question that Denise asked, what can the black women do to help us as black men rise up from our ashes? And, you know, another thing that I would like to say to all sisters, watch your tone. Watch how you talk to your husbands and your sons, because no man likes to be challenged, especially not by, you know, it's in the queen that he says supposed to be his helpmates. So if you see that your husband is slipping in areas that you would like for him to be more productive in, it's ways you can correct him. But you don't, you know, just sit back and call this man out his name. You know, you don't point your finger at all the wrongs that he do. You uplift him by telling him the right that he does. Because, you know, the Farrakhan said, you can cut a man up 99 different ways with your tongue. And we have to control our tongues when we're dealing with one another. I mean,
yeah.
The feminization of the black man, the feminization of the black man goes deeper than just the food, goes deeper than with the marijuana. It starts, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the times in our homes dealing with our women, because don't no man want to come home from the battlefield in the streets and then come home to another battlefield of a sister always pointing out all the wrong he does, but never points out the right that he does, and never uplifts him. But it's not all to blame on the sisters, because, you know, she has been made to be like more or less the dominant. The roles have been switched, and that's the plan of the white man. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saw that from years and years and years down the line. That's why 75% of the teachings are for the women. So, sisters, a nation can rise no higher than you. But as you rise, you can't step on your man. You must pull him with you, as we're pulling you with along with us. But if we can't protect you, if we can't control you, my dear sisters. Sister, is Sister Jade on right now?
This is Sister Fatima. I was just wanting the sister to repeat again the information she had mentioned, the founder of the Black Mothers Forum. If you can share it with us so everyone can hear that again.
Yes, her name is Janelle Wood, and we're on Facebook, Black Mothers Forum. And it is a group of black mothers who have come together to educate black women and to strategize and plan what we're going to do about what we have seen in the black community. It's about ridding our streets of black-on-black crime and police brutality. So the mothers are working. A lot of things are happening, and we're becoming a force in the city that people are recognizing. Because when black women say we're tired and we have committed to improve our community, it is going to get improved. And the thing, as a Muslim woman, I have been in the nation for almost 40 years now, to hear black women out of the church talk like they're talking, I had to commit to work with them and join their group and become a part of their core team, because they're talking Islam and they don't even know it. So it is the Black Mothers Forum. You know, you can go to Facebook and like it, and we, anything we do, all the things that are happening, we post on Facebook. So brothers, you can join too. You can like it too, but you just can't come to our meetings.
Okay, thank you, sister.
We have a caller.
The brothers, another thing I love about this group, they are committed to uplifting the Black man. They are stone committed. They are tired of seeing what is happening to their sons, their brothers, their husbands, and they're committed to you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, ma'am.
We have another caller.
Yes, ma'am.
We have another caller on hold. I see the Austin, Texas area code. Is that you, Sister Jade?
What number? Can you hear me,
okay,
family?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like a salam, there you are.
You know, I don't really have a question, but I do have a comment. Mm-hmm. Brother Wesley said something.
Hello, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Because I sure was just talking to myself.
Yeah, we can hear you now, ma'am.
All right. Well, assalamu alaikum, family. I was just saying that I really don't have a question, but just a comment on something that Dr. Wesley had stated regarding being a single parent. You know, I thought that was interesting perspective on how, you know, you're having to play both roles. And in doing so, there is a compromise. And when you do, you know, when you are blessed to be in a relationship where you have a helpmeet to help fulfill that other role you were playing, you know, we have to learn how to fall back and, you know, be that, you know, if you're a single mom, now you don't have to be both the mother and the father. You don't have to be the sole provider. You now have help. But I think a lot of us have a hard time stepping back from that role and just being, you know, mother and wife without feeling like, I don't know if it's necessarily a power thing or, you know, I just can't really explain that, but just not being able to readily just fall back and allow yourself to play your role without feeling as though you got to know your place. I'll just say it like that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, sis. And I understand exactly where you're coming from. This will be the last question because I've been getting inboxes that a lot of believers have to go now because they're having Eid feasts and stuff around the nation. And we all do want to celebrate, you know, the last day of Ramadan with family and friends and stuff. So I understand, you know, that a lot of callers have to go and stuff like for other obligations. But I'm going to answer this last question, dear sister, because, you know, as Dr. West, you said he was a single father for a few years, and it's hard to switch off and on, you know, hats. And when you finally get into a relationship, you know, you have a tendency sometimes to say things that when you may think in that's out of place or out of time. But, you know, we have to be patient with one another because, as we do all know, that the roles have been reversed. And trying to be a mother and a father, which we none of us can never be a mother and a father because we don't have, you know, some dual male or female body parts. So we can never be that anyway. We just got to get back into our own thinking, our own self way of doing things as God would want us to be. But You know, the enemy has played a large trick on all of us. You know, as the Gallup boys say, my mind is playing tricks on me. It's because these white men, you know, they are master scientists. They are master evil. They know how to, what's the word I want to use, pull off one of the greatest capers there is, having you thinking other than yourself and acting other than yourself. We've been acting other than ourselves over 400 some years. So we still are in the reprogramming process by God himself. So I say in closing, just be patient with one another. Remember, strong family equals strong nation. And yes, it is a mass, you know, attack on the black man. But yet, sisters, we ask y'all, please stop attacking us. Help us become the guys that we know we can. But as long as we're being attacked by our own women, it's hard for us to rise above our emotions to the thinking of God. I thank all of my listening audience for being with us, that carried us, that has been with us for this whole hour. And I do apologize that this show has been cut short tonight. But when man planned a law, planning a law is the best of planning. I say to each and every last one of you, Roman Oliver Bark and Strong Family, Strong Nation, Blog Talk Show is not going anywhere. We will be back in 2 weeks carrying our show for 2 hours as we usually will be. So I ask all of our people and our listening audience, please continue to follow us, continue to tune in, Strong Family, Strong Nation, Blog Talk Show. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.